Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Aaron Rodgers lets us know it's about the people. It's about the character. It's about the culture.
I like him as a football player.
Who sets all of those things for an organization but the guy at the very top?
He's pretty damn good, I would say.
Yeah, he could play, right? And you're the guy that earlier in the show said you'd trade him rather than get rid of the GM.
Yeah, I'd trade
him. Who is clearly the problem.
I'd trade him. He could play, and I'd trade him.
All right, can we acknowledge, though? I think now, officially acknowledge, even though we still have to decode some of the things that Aaron Rodgers said to Kenny Mayne last night, can we acknowledge that it's pretty clear that his issue is with one person and only one person, and that's Brian Gutekunst, the GM.
It certainly seems that way, right? 100%, it just seems that way.
Right.
Because the way he kind of was talking to Kenny Mayne and leaving things kind of like open for you to figure out.
A lot of breadcrumbs.
Yeah, a lot of them. But Aaron Rodgers is a hell of a football player. There's no question about it. He deserves everything. But in the end, as a general manager, I got to do what's best for the organization. As the president and Mark Murphy,
that's fine. But if I'm the president, I got to do what's best for the organization. I know what you said you would do, but I'm just talking about it now from the player. Put yourself in Aaron Rodgers' shoes right now. Put yourself in Hawaii. All right, you're going through a cleanse. You're feeling really good physically. You let your hair grow.
Avocado toothpaste
that you can't put back into the tube.
I just threw avocado and a random thing.
Go ahead. We just put it together. I like it. No, it's fine. But with just put yourself there and tell me, if I then said to you, all right, we're making a move, we're going to get – he's out, we'll bring in a GM, would you then say, all right, I'm good now? Do you feel – like, as the player, would you say that, or would you still say, no, it's not – you know, like, it's too much now, it's gone too far, and let's just call it a day?
I would say, you know, I'm not really asking for you to get rid of the general manager. That's on you. That's your decision.
But I'm letting you know we're doing it. Does that change anything about how you feel?
If you do it, that's on you. I enjoy playing with my teammates. Devontae Adams is my guy. Man, I really like being a Packer.
I see what you're doing.
It's on you to make that decision on what you want to do.
You're not giving me any confirmation whether you approve of it.
No,
right? You're not going to endorse it at all.
That means.
Right, right, Adam? Yeah. Do it.
Well, I'm telling you, we're doing it.
Okay, so do it. Where's the ticker?
Will you stay now? Are you fine now? Are you showing up?
One thing here.
You saying your answer you just said is different than you saying do it. Right? Your first answer still seems so passive aggressive to me that maybe this issue lies deeper than just my GM. So that's where there needs to be a coming to Christ conversation with those two. I'm like, I need you to tell me.
I can't tell you.
If I were to do this, then what, like, this is how I envision it working. Like, you have to come to the table with how do you strategize.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm not doing that, Jay, for you to go tell somebody I demanded that you get rid of.
I can't keep playing this Game of Thrones game,
but
man.
Somebody's
going to need to tell me what the hell I need to know to keep you on my team.
But I can't. Aaron Rodgers.
Beautiful mystery no more.
But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm not telling you so you can go tell somebody that I said fire the
But if I
manager.
Do that, then if I violate your
can
trust,
can I expect you to be at training camp once I make this move? Can I now expect you to be there, Key?
I'm not asking you to make a move, though. What do you mean?
We're going to reset the culture. We're going to keep the people, and we're going to upgrade the character of the franchise.
If you were to ask Aaron Rodgers when he comes onto the show, do you want the general manager gone? The first thing he's going to do is exactly what I just gave you.
I know.
I'm not asking. I'm
talking about an intimate conversation between Aaron Rodgers and Mark Murphy.
But I can't do that.
But I understand, Jay. I understand what he's doing, it's really good because he's giving you that insight that we're looking for. I'm never going to acknowledge that that's what I want, so you make that decision. All I'm asking is – I'm not asking you for your permission. I'm telling you I'm doing it.
Yeah.
What I'm asking you is, now, this is one move I'm making. Do I still have to now
make another
trade
move.
For you? Do I have to make a trade for you, or are you going to be there?
Call me after you fire the dude. Call me after you fire him. If that's what you decide to do, then we can have a conversation later on.
Okay.
I'm not having that conversation with you. Okay. So when you fire this dude, you can now go tell Jay, Keyshawn said he – no.
Here's the crazy thing about ego.
I got it.
Say I'm Mark Murphy, and I'm having this conversation with Key, and Key is Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I'll fire him. At the end of the day, it's still you firing him. You know that, right?
Of course.
No. It's not fine true. If you want to, in your only rational mind, believe that you had nothing to do with it, and we can sit up here and say that you never said anything. I'll say you never said anything. But people ain't stupid.
But it's better to be off the record than on
fine.
The record.
That's fine. People aren't stupid. People know this whole thing has happened.
He's escaping liability. Yeah. That's what he's doing.
In his own mind. But in reality, everybody's going to write. You still know where it is.
It's not in my own mind because I can always point to, I had nothing to do with that.
I know, but that's what you can say because you're in your own mind. But everybody else outside knows what the real deal is.
We are all in our own
minds. We all know that you don't like Brian.
You can't write that I don't like you because I never told you I didn't like you.
Right? Jay Will Zuber.
Never fell.
Progressive Insurance, Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. So, again, let those listening to us right now as we're trying to, again, pick through the conversation that Aaron Rodgers had with Kenny Mayne last night on SportsCenter. Just listen to, again, the little codes that he leaves in his non-answers about how he feels about the organization and also Jordan Love.
It's never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love coaching staff, love my teammates, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. A lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense, to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
I mean, the classic phrase of the philosophy, the people, the character.
The people.
Culture. Doing it the right way. Like, it's so political. But then he throws in, which I thought was that little petty part of, I guess their plan was pretty much move on, and then I won MVP and kind of ruined those plans, didn't I? Like, I ain't dead yet.
But the people, instead of saying the great players that played for the Green Bay Packers that changed the franchise and won championships in those eras, he kept saying the people. I know what he mean by the people. He's talking about cornerstone franchise changing players.
Well, he named
like
them.
Myself.
Bart Starr.
That's
he
what
put
he's
himself
saying.
In that company.
Yeah.
Bart
like,
Starr,
like,
Brett
Favre. Like myself. So when you have a rift with people like me, these are the things that happen. That's what he's saying. He put that Cal education to use. That's for damn sure right
no
there.
No doubt. There's no doubt certainly about that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to hear, though, what everybody feels about this after hearing Aaron Rodgers speak for the first time after we've been kicking this around for so long. We go to Keith in Texas. Keith, your thoughts.
So let me just say first off that I'm a Cowboys fan, so it's hard to talk about these things. But that aside, I feel like, I don't know if it's so much as an issue with the general manager other than the issue of for 2 years now, they've went 13-3. In 2 years, they've been beat out of the playoffs because they've had a lack of certain weapons. What do you guys think about if they make a play for Julio Jones and bring Julio Jones in to pair up with Adams? Would that make Aaron Rodgers happy now that he's got two cornerstone weapons that he can go to?
Well, that's what we're throwing around, though. Yeah. Does it take the removal of Brian Gutekunst and also the addition of a player like Julio Jones? Like, would that be enough to keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? I would think so, but I'm not Aaron Rodgers.
The
I don't
aggressive
know.
Aggressive play
didn't
towards
he, did he not just
him.
Win the MVP?
Yeah.
In the year before that, he was 4,600 yards in the air, something like 29-3.
Yeah.
Touchdown, interception.
Numbers were fantastic, yeah.
So why do he need Julio Jones?
Why not?
I mean, obviously a piece.
You're loading up. Yeah, why did Tom Brady need Gronk? And
because
why
did
Antonio Brown.
Did you see what he had in New England the prior year?
In New England, yes.
Yes,
but once he got, I'm talking about once he got to Tampa, why did you have to add Antonio Brown? He wanted Antonio Brown. He got Antonio
all
Brown.
In.
Yeah.
Did Bruce Arians want Antonio Brown? No, but Tom did, so okay.
But was Antonio Brown that big of a difference maker throughout the course. Remember, Antonio Brown came halfway through.
I understand, see, but it's the point that the quarterback wanted him.
And I think it was also the point to show your quarterback that we are all in with you.
Yes.
We are on the same page.
We
want to
load
you.
Up. Let's load up.
No? Yeah, but I wouldn't. No, I can't. I'm not going to do it.
You're not feeling that?
Because I got to now give up too many assets to get Julio Jones. I got to give up a first round pick for a aging receiver that has been.
Now he's an aging receiver.
Oh, he missed seven games last year. He missed seven games last year.
Yeah, and the year before that, the year before. I mean, he's had some injury problems. He has a big, large number. I didn't understand the name. Julio Jones doesn't work for Green Bay because they got to give up too much. That's the problem. He works for New England because New England won't have to give up a lot. It's out of the conference. It's the AFC. You talk about the Raiders. It makes sense. It's the AFC. The NFC, Atlanta would be willing to trade him to the NFC, but they're going to want a lot.
Okay.
All That's why it doesn't make sense.
More on this topic, of course, for sure. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Donovan Mitchell, we had talked about him previously. Let's get back into that conversation. Donovan Mitchell with the Utah Jazz. They hold him out. Late scratch for game one. Jazz end up losing game one. He's clearly not happy about it. And seems like it continues what has been, even though he signed an extension, even though he has talked publicly about being committed to the Jazz, it just feels like there remains some type of issues with him and that organization. Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA insider, joins us right now. On the Goodyear Hotline, just did the story on it, has been talking about it on ESPN.com. Wendy, what is at the center of these issues between Mitchell and the Jazz?
Well, I mean, I think in and of itself, this was just a really strange organizational decision that is very hard to understand. I obviously, if a player is not healthy, he may not agree with the training staff. And that happens all the time in sports. But this particular situation, he practiced 3 days in a row and went to morning shoot-around. The entire team thought he was playing, and then he was pulled. And then less than 24 hours later, he was cleared to play 48 hours later. It makes no sense. But even if we step out of that for a second, the bigger issue is that in this recovery from this injury, which has gone on way longer than initially projected by everybody, both the player and the doctors and the trainers, is that midway through his rehab, Donovan was not happy with the way it was going, and he brought in his own trainers. Now, this is not unheard of in the NBA. It is very common for it to happen. Michael Jordan had his own trainer. LeBron had his own trainer. Even Dwayne Wade, who was helped mediate this inside the organization in his new role as part owner of the Jazz, he had his own trainer. But for Donovan, he had never done this before. And for this to happen, for him to go to his own trainers and then get to the moment where he comes back and then there to be another conflict, it feels troublesome about how he views the training staff and the trust level there. It may not matter. He may come back on Wednesday and play great. They may win this series 4-1, and this may be forgotten. But I'm going to tell you right now, Donovan was furious, and his relationship has been damaged. It can be corrected, but it was damaged with the team.
Brian, how do you add that small factor to the whole pie? Does Donovan like living in Utah? You know, is the reason they brought in D. Wade to try to build that relationship because D. Wade is almost seen as like a peer to Donovan Mitchell. His relationship with Rudy Gobert, where is that? Seems like there's starting to become a lot of question marks around Donovan Mitchell's potential long-term viability for the Utah Jazz.
Okay, so, Jay, you know this. Speaking honestly, this is something that the entire league is watching, and they're going to keep checking this temperature, especially because, yes, he signed the max extension last offseason. He is committed to the Jazz for 4 more years after this, but he asked for a player option getting out of it, and that makes it a year shorter, so people are watching that. And there is, you know, because of things that have happened in the past, there is some wonder about whether Donovan is committed there. And look, there were probably – a dozen reasons why the new owner, Ryan Smith, brought Dwayne Wade in to the ownership group. And Dwayne Wade has a lot of money, but Dwayne Wade did not pay the going rate. He did not pay the rate that I would pay if I wanted to go in. And that's because Dwayne brings some things that are worth a lot to the organization, and bringing him in is a huge value regardless of what the monetary deal was. And this is one of them. His ability not only to connect and relate to a guy like Donovan Mitchell in a place like Salt Lake City, but for future players that the Jazz hope to recruit and retain going forward. And so absolutely, this is one of the reasons why Dwayne Wade is in the organization, to keep keep Donovan Mitchell in Salt Lake City for his whole career and managing situations like this. And from what I'm told, Dwayne was on the front line of this, keeping this thing together over the last 48 hours, trying to do this.
When you're talking about players, this is the time of year when people start to talk about players moving around at different locations. Steph Curry obviously has been in the news, this big contract potential extension. Here's what Bob Myers had to say about Steph Curry getting a deal done this summer.
I mean, as optimistic as you can be, I don't see any reason not to be optimistic. He seems like he's motivated. We're motivated. I would say pretty confident we'll get something done.
Do they get a deal done?
If they offer him the max key, which is a $215 million extension for 4 years, I don't see why he wouldn't commit. He's beloved there. He's had great success there, and I'm sure he believes in the franchise. The franchise is extremely well capitalized. They just sold off 5% of the team for $300 million. I mean, you know, and even though they've struggled like everybody with the pandemic, they've got a ton of money. The question is, are they going to offer him that max contract? In the past, the Warriors have been shrewd negotiators. They got Kevin Durant to take a couple of years of less than max contracts. They got Andre Iguodala to maneuver his contract around. So do they come to him and try to appeal to him and say, hey, can you take a little less than the max so we can build this team over the next 4 years? But the real, real challenge in Golden State, and if I'm Steph Curry, this is what I want to know, maybe even beyond the money. They have James Wiseman, the number two pick in this year's draft, a prospect, a raw prospect. They're going to have two lottery picks in this draft. If Minnesota slides out of the top three, they get that pick. And they have their own. Maybe Minnesota is in the top three, and then it's an unprotected pick next year. Either way, it's a very valuable trade chip. If I was Steph Curry, I would say, what is our direction? Are we going to take these young draft picks, and you're going to draft guys, and I'm going to have three, you know, 19 or 20-year-olds on this roster trying to win? Or are we going to trade those pieces for bona fide players that when Klay Thompson comes back and Draymond Green is still in the back end of his prime, do we make one more push with this? That, to me, is as big of a decision organizationally as getting Steph to sign it on the line.
Wendy, in 12 years, he's made $200 million with the Warriors. Would his max be a $200 million max?
Yeah, he can add 4 years and 215. Think so, you know, he would double his career earnings. And
isn't that amazing?
His value to the franchise is unquestioned. I mean, he is the guy they're coming through the doors to see. But it's not even just about the money. I mean, obviously they got to offer it to him. But if he doesn't hear what he likes about the way they've got the back end of his career planned, you know, he may not sign it to see how it plays out.
Brian, let's talk about somebody who has value to an organization. That's Brad Stevens with the Boston Celtics. How important are these playoffs to his career in Boston?
Well, the Celtics are – this has been a bit of a lost year for them. I don't know how this series with the Nets will ultimately play out. Game one was competitive, but they're not going to win that series. The Celtics have some major decisions to make, and I've said this before. I think that across the board, the Celtics have not had a good 12 or so months. I think some of their ownership decisions have been hurtful. I think some of their front office decisions have been hurtful. I think some of the Brad Stevens coaching has not been his best, which he has admitted. And I think some of their players haven't delivered at the level that they expected them to deliver, whether it was due to injury or through other circumstances. So there's going to be a lot that's going to have to be manipulated on the Celtics. The thing I would say, though, is they have two star perimeter players in their early 20s under long-term contract. That is the tough thing to get. That is what everybody who was on the outside of the title contention window is trying to get. So in a lot of ways, the hard part is done for them. I don't know if there's anything Brad can do in the short term here, but obviously their game plan and their roster moves coming the next year have got to be a step above where they were this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's not acceptable. The standard's much different there in Boston. And Brian, thank you so much for the time. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks,
Have
Brian.
A good day, guys.
You too, brother.
Brian Windhorst, our NBA insider here at ESPN on the Goodyear Hotline. I mean, what he said, though, about Steph Curry, I had to just bring that up. He made $200 million in his first 12 years. He could get $200
in four.
In his next four. In his last, essentially could be his last contract. And if you're Golden State.
Inflation.
And the money, but the money they've made now since that all, you know, that dynasty began, and he's a huge part of
building
it.
Building a new arena in San arena, Francisco. Yeah.
I mean, if you're the Golden, like, you give it to him. Don't you give it to him? Retire with us.
Not
it's
even a
worth
question.
It to us. Even if
you
are
know why we
old
gave KD a
down.
Pay cut? To a degree, because KD wasn't our franchise. You're our franchise.
Yeah, but he
stuff.
Really didn't.
How did
he
you go
really
to him and ask
take
him
to
take less?
I mean, he took a little bit less.
I mean, he took less to go there, but it wasn't like he went from like,
yeah.
No. You know.
Right.
Yeah, let's
no,
be,
he wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, let's be a little bit less.
He didn't take the mid-level
yeah.
exception.
It's I mean, almost, yeah. it's like, exactly.
Nobody's
it's like,
struggling. How
it's
about
almost
that?
Like you said, Steph could take less money, da-da-da.
Sure.
Well, okay, yeah, okay, so I'm giving you 200 instead of 215. Okay, big deal.
But the point is do you really ask him or do you let him say, I'll take less if we can, because I think we can get this guy.
You let,
like,
him,
you
say.
Let him offer it.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm no, you give him the max, whatever it is yeah. that you can do, and if he wants to take less, he take less. And if he doesn't, he doesn't.
If you're him, do you look at the books and say, all right, if I take this, how does this affect us down the road?
Yes.
Like, you're him, you probably want to know
if,
all
if
that,
I'm
right?
Stephen Curry, I am playing capologist. Like, I'm sitting here like, okay, I'm the de facto GM with you here, Bob Myers.
But
like, so who are we? Are we
yeah, what are you
going to
do with this money I'm giving
We got
you.
James Wiseman. We got Kelly Oubre. We got Andrew Wiggins. Like, how are we packaging them up? Who are our targets? Who
they
are we
all
going
gotta
after?
Go, Jay. Don't
Where's
they,
Klay Thompson?
If Klay's coming back.
I'm packaging
back,
them all up.
Yeah. You've got Draymond. You've got Klay coming back. Who knows what he's going to look like, but he's still Klay Thompson. Shooting doesn't get old. Those three are back. You got to look at the young roster. Like, remember when LeBron went back to Cleveland?
Yep.
And he's like, all right, these guys got to go. Get me Kevin Love. Get me this guy. Get me that guy. Like, that's almost what they've got to do with this roster.
It also makes you go back and review the draft, because I know that they took a big in James Wiseman. Obviously, he got hurt. He was having a year. But you always wonder what that team could have been like if they had LaMelo Ball.
Well, I mean, and he could always wind up in L.A. It ain't nothing but down the street. So,
right,
you know, man.
Enough of that.
Another one, huh? Booker, him.
Back to the NFL we go.
Did
Julio Jones just turn up the heat in Hotlanta? It's been a good day on teasers. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Crazy.
The Bucks take game two in their series with the Heat, a commanding 2-0 lead. Are they the team to beat in the Eastern Conference? We'll answer that question and more with me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsCenter right now. Aaron Rodgers speaks his issue with the Packers. It's not with Jordan Love. It's about philosophy and character and
beautiful
culture.
Mystery.
It's about the people, Jay. It's about the people. And he said this Monday night in an appearance on SportsCenter to commemorate Kenny Mayne's final show on ESPN. On the ice last night, did you guys see this? The Islanders defeated the Penguins 3-2 in double overtime. Josh Bailey with the game-winning goal. And here's what it sounded like on the Islanders radio network.
Here a turnover chance for Bailey and alone. Schultz, he scores! Josh Bailey has won it in overtime! Islanders win it 3-2. They take a 3-2 series lead and will have a chance to close out the Penguins Wednesday night at the Coliseum in Game 6. Oh, my God, this is amazing!
They had to scrape Chris King off the ceiling after that call. Ilya Sorokin, the rookie, with 48 saves for the Islanders. They take a 3-2 series lead. They have an 11-1 series record all time when leading 3-2 in a best-of-seven series. So you can book it. Lakers-Suns play tonight game two of their series, and they plan a moment of silence in honor of George Floyd. Today marks 1 year since Floyd's murder. SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven.
I want to be the best. It is my mentality. If I come here to work, I'm going to be the best today I can possibly be.
Holla at the kid if you want it, you can get it. Hate to sweat it, I'll be flexing. I'm just riding around my city, bank account and chair model. Sitting pretty, I just had to let them know.
This is what I do.
Julio, touchdown! Oh, my goodness!
You do have to appreciate that talent. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on in Atlanta? Why not ask Matt Schaub, who joins us right now. On the Goodyear Hotline, two-time Pro Bowl quarterback, was a backup last season in Atlanta. Matt, good morning. So as we're now learning more about this story between Julio Jones and the Falcons, what went wrong in Atlanta?
You know, I think it was a snowball of things. You know, you look at the past few years, and after going to the Super Bowl, then making the playoffs the next year, and then, you know, back-to-back sub-500 seasons, you know, I think – you know, frustration sets in, and you can see where things are trending when you're a player, and with the salary cap situation, and, you know, when you're in Julio's shoes and you've had some injuries, I think you see the writing on the wall. And, you know, I think for him, he's just trying to get out in front of it and spin the narrative in his direction. And you know, if things are going to go a certain way, he wants to try to be in control of it. And I think that's the way of the players in this generation and nowadays, is you have this platform and this social media, and, you know, you have a lot more power and control over certain things. And, you know, you want to voice your opinions and get your word out there, you know, especially when you see in the media that a team might be shopping you, you're either fielding phone calls, and you can kind of sense that things are going in a certain direction.
Matt, how big of a predicament did he just put the Atlanta Falcons organization in by basically publicly saying he's out of here? And now that trade value seems to be going in a different direction.
Well, I think you definitely put the team in the corner a little bit. I mean, I think however it was leaked, whatever the week leading up to, you know, Julio's comments yesterday, that they were fielding phone calls and they were shopping him out there in the open market. I think, you know, the team put that out there, or Julio's agent put that out there. There's many different ways that can get leaked. But, you know, when Julio makes those comments, then the team is kind of backed in the corner. But at the same time, they don't have to trade him. They don't have to accept any deal and not get the value they're looking for. And they don't have to necessarily do him a favor by trading him to a team that he wants to win on right now. There's a lot of teams with the cap situation that they can trade and take on Julio, but that team not necessarily is ready to win right now. And there's only a couple of those teams off the top of my head that I can think about, and it's one whether they're willing to offer the Falcons what they desire as equal compensation for a guy like Julio Jones. And so they don't have to do anything, but, you know, I think given the distraction that it could be, you know, they'd probably, you know, try to make a deal happen at some point here in the near future.
How frustrated do you think Matt Ryan would be if he loses his biggest weapon?
I think it'd be very frustrating knowing Matt and knowing their rapport and, you know, all decade together. You know, there's so much on the field that nonverbal communication, that understanding of what you're both looking at and where you're going to be. And, you know, Matt knowing where Julio likes to have the ball thrown to or being able to throw him open, even when he gets the double coverages and some of those things that a guy like that commands, you know, he knows how to still get him the football, especially in crunch time situations. But when you look at the roster and you look at the past couple years when Julio has been out of the lineup, which is a fair amount, you know, you had a guy like Calvin Ridley step up. You've had Hayden Hurst. Now you had Kyle Pitts this year. Russell Gage played a big part as the slot receiver this past season. So you have guys that have had opportunities and have come up big for you. So, you know, getting Kyle Pitts into the mix here in training camp and early in the season, you know, is going to be huge, you know, a huge weapon and mismatch for other teams to defend. So you have guys that can fill in that void, but, you know, having Julio on the field does command a lot of attention. So you can sort of predict what you might get as far as coverages when he is on the field for you.
We're talking with former Falcons quarterback Matt Schaub joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. You mentioned Kyle Pitts. By them making that move there, because there was some speculation they might go quarterback and maybe it's, you know, Matt Ryan, the clock is now also ticking on him. But it seems like Matt Ryan has talked about feeling refreshed and now he feels like he's got more time left in his game, more tread on the tire. They go with Kyle Pitts. How much have you seen from Kyle Pitts that tells you, all right, you're bringing a talent like this, it could at least buffer a little bit of the loss of somebody like Julio Jones?
I think it gives you depth and it gives you another guy, another weapon to be able to get the football to. And like I mentioned earlier, the mismatch he'll create at the tight end position, whether, you know, a team wants to play nickel defense and put a small corner on Kyle Pitts and try to cover him from that aspect when he's in the game, or do they stay in base defense and you have a safety covering him or the zone coverage you might see. So I think it just gives you added depth and another weapon to work the middle of the football field, and you can spread him out wide. You can put him in the slot. He can put his hand in the dirt and run his routes from a normal tight end position. Can you ask him to come in and you know, replicate what Julio has done over the last decade? No. I mean, that'd be ridiculous for anyone to come in and think that one person's going to be able to pick up that slack. I think it's just a group effort, and it's a total team effort. You got to have multiple guys step up and fill in that void that happens there in the passing game. And, you know, another way you can do that is you can run the football a little bit better. You can control the line of scrimmage and be able to run the football with Mike Davis and those backs there. And then you're not asking Matt Ryan to drop back 50 times and have to find Julio 10, 15 times a game. So I think there's different ways you can pick up the loss of a Julio Jones on your offense.
Matt, you were talking earlier about, you know, players having more say, more control, even with their own messaging, with social media and whatnot. I'd be remiss not to ask you, as yourself a quarterback, are you watching with any type of interest or fascination about what Aaron Rodgers is going through, what he's doing with Green Bay?
Yeah, I definitely am. I mean, I'm just a fan of the game, and, you know, and I know him, so I'm interested because, you know, he's one of the faces of the league. And so when things are going in a direction that they are with him and his career and with that organization, you know, a team that's been to multiple NFC championship games, including back-to-back years these past two, and, you know, see this happening and play out the way it is, you know, in social media, in the media, in the public eye. I mean, it's tough because, you know, there was a day and age when you didn't know a lot of this was going on because of the lack of, you know, information at your fingertips. But so you don't like to see it happen, but you understand that that's the way some things get done, and you can kind of push back at, you know, in a way in the media towards teams and the league and, you know, get your voice heard rather than constantly just being a chess piece in the greater scheme of the game. And but, you know, I don't like to see it for a guy like Aaron, who's for 16 years been a face of this league and been at the top of the list of quarterbacks. But like we said, that's the nature of this game now.
Matt, appreciate the insight. All the best.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Matt Schaub on the Goodyear Hotline. Had to ask him, though. Again, all quarterbacks, you know, you all kind of pay attention. You're in that, you know, fraternity to see how this thing certainly plays out. But, you know, I still say he's still great. I don't want to hear that he's old. You stick with a player like that, especially coming off an MVP season. He talked about Julio Jones as well. Interesting take there about Julio. He should be on the phone, though, with one person right now. And in his case, it's not the GM. We'll tell you who that is after Jay has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good. Really good, actually. But cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Julio Jones went to Falcons management back in March and asked for a trade.
You can't start the season with Julio Jones on your roster as things currently stand.
Julio Jones himself wants out.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Market Madness continues. Keyshawn and J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. We're in the Sweet 16. Our matchup today in the Era Goats region. So we had LeBron James versus Alex Ovechkin yesterday. LeBron wins that.
Landslide.
He moves on. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit. Although Ovi, I mean, you know,
yeah,
slightly under 40%.
Yeah,
a little something.
What was the final number?
I think it was like 60-40, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So right now, in our 2-3 matchup in this region, it's Coach K versus Larry Fitzgerald, or as Key says, his nickname is Fitzy. This one, it's pretty much LeBron versus Ovi. Coach K at 62.3% so far. Larry Fitzgerald, 37.7%. NFL not raining right now.
It has nothing to do with the NFL, man.
In the matchup. You can vote at KeyJNZ right now on Twitter. Still about over 20 hours left in the voting.
Yeah, it's got the
five championships for Coach K.
Yeah, one of the greatest coaches in college basketball history. I mean, it's just, you know, Larry put, most on a, recognized he put up a good fight.
Larry, one of the best wide receivers in history.
Yeah, he put up a good fight.
But remember, this is based off of Chris Canty saying that it's, you know, when they get into the club, I mean, who's going to be the first one in when there's only one table left? Like he said, his New York rankings had Jacob DeGrom.
Coach K is definitely
back on
the
mound tonight for the Mets, though, which is a good sign as he's back from IL. But Coach K, Larry Fitzgerald show up at a restaurant anywhere in the country. Anywhere in the country.
Coach K is going first.
Coach K gets the table?
Yeah.
How about in Arizona? Yeah. In Phoenix.
Coach K gets
Coach K
the table.
Still gets it?
Yeah. He still gets the table.
That says a lot.
I mean, it's Coach K.
It's Coach K.
Man.
Okay. So again,
that's what I said. He put up a good fight.
The voting at KeyJNZ on Twitter right now. You can make your vote as we continue Market Madness in our Sweet 16. So time right now for Key's Real Rankings. Ooh. Brought to you by Dell. Small Business Month is here, and Dell Technologies and Windows can help you upgrade your tech with up to 45% off high-performance PCs. Work anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL. So we rank the top, what is it now, the top destinations, the best places, right?
For Julio Jones.
For Julio Jones to land. The top five. Adam Schefter reported yesterday the Falcons preferred not to trade Julio Jones in the NFC. Keep that in mind. But would do so for the right price. But now with Jones wanting out of Atlanta, I mean, they're probably just looking for best value no matter what, according to Schefter. So, Key, with that in mind, your top five best destinations, trade destinations for Julio Jones.
Number five.
In the Indianapolis Colts is at five. I look at them with a young Michael Pittman Jr. You bring back T.Y. Hilton, but a big, strong, physical wide receiver like Julio Jones. In that offense with Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, Carson Wentz has never had a receiver like this at his time in Philadelphia. Alshon Jeffrey's not even close to Julio Jones. So you get that weapon to the Colts on an offense that could certainly put up some points. We saw that with Phillip Rivers a year ago. Now you got Carson Wentz in there. They make a run in the AFC.
Number four.
This one is interesting because it's the Raiders. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. John Gruden is always looking to get better, especially at the receiver position. When you think about the wide receivers that they went out and got a year ago, they got Williams from the Chargers. It didn't work out. They drafted Henry Ruggs. He's just a piece there. But when you get a guy matched with Waller to tie in alone with Carr, if Carr is still the quarterback opposed to maybe an Aaron Rodgers,
oh boy.
Jones is there to give him that big backside X receiver that can – play big in the red zone, run the slants, do some things in a similar West Coast system that I was in for John Gruden.
Number three.
This makes all the sense in the world, although it's the NFC. The San Francisco 49ers would have to figure out how to get Julio Jones to get back with his offensive coordinator when they made a run at the Super Bowl in Kyle Shanahan, who's now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. It gives them a weapon, although they got some young, talented receivers. Mm-hmm. Adding Julio Jones to the piece with Ayuk along with Deebo Samuels will give them, again, a big receiver, a red zone target, a guy who knows how to play, veteran leadership. He says he wants to go to a team that is winning, and I think that would be the 49ers.
Number two.
Number two is the New England Patriots. And I know people sit back and say, well, how does this work? Yeah, the New England Patriots. The rich get richer. I mean, this is what New England.
Are they rich?
Yeah, I think they are. They get their players back. They sign guys in free agency. I'm counting on Belichick. I'm not counting Belichick out.
Okay.
I think when you look at what Belichick has been able to do, resurgence on careers that people said no to. One in particular, Randy Moss. We saw Randy Moss at the Oakland Raiders. He went to New England. It was a different story. Guys like Bill Belichick knows what to do with talent. I know people are looking at Cam Newton and say, well, but Cam Newton wasn't working with anything last year. If Cam Newton looks like this year what he looked like last year, then talk to me. Mm. Talk to me and tell me something different if Cam Newton is the football player that we saw last year, this year, with everything at his disposal.
Number one.
This is easy for everybody. It should be, right? Yeah. The Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about what they want to do, they went out and they signed Sammy Watkins. They got Hollywood Brown. They drafted Bateman from Minnesota. If somehow they can get Julio Jones. Now, remember, Atlanta wants to get him out of the NFC. You never want to trade a guy within the conference or the division. It makes zero sense. So you send him to Lamar Jackson. They get what they need in a resurgence of a passing game. Lamar gets to continue to develop. Then they can make an easier decision on paying Lamar the long-term contract extension that he certainly deserves. And you got an opportunity to match talent with talent as the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cleveland Browns. I watch out for this one very closely.
Yeah, I think the Ravens would really, like you said it, the obvious one, they should already have been talking, right, once you knew that they wanted to make that move. But I got to ask this about the Raiders at four. You mentioned, like, or they could have Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you can get both guys. It's one or the other.
Well, it depends on what they want, right? It depends on what they want for Julio Jones.
I mean, how much of your draft are you giving up? I mean, I thought what Teddy Bruschi said was interesting. If I'm Julio Jones, I'm calling Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but then you just said you can't get both of them.
No, I'm saying not with the Raiders. I'm just saying if you're him, though, where are you going? And let's see if we could pair up. But for the Raiders, yeah, do they have enough assets to make that kind of move?
Wherever Aaron Rodgers is going, they probably already got a bunch of pieces at the receiver spot. So if he goes to Denver, which a lot of people think that's it, they already got receivers. They got offensive playmakers. They're not going to give up their offensive playmakers to get Aaron Rodgers. They'll maybe give up some stuff on defensive side and some draft picks. I mean, the Raiders doesn't have – Waller's their best receiver at tight end.
Right.
Henry Ruggs is – I mean, he's
– He's a guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's young.
Still young, though.
Take the top off of it. But that's really it.
Can I ask you guys a question? Why isn't Tennessee on the list? I mean, with him and A.J. Brown, with Derrick Henry, could that be enough to, obviously, with Ryan Tannehill at the quarterback spot, could that be enough to get them over the hump? They're in the AFC. That seems like a feasible team
for Jones to go to.
Yeah.
I don't like Tennessee's passing game. I just don't like the philosophy. Arthur Smith is now in Atlanta. He was the guy who
– Yeah. Yeah.
You know, who had them going in the right direction in the passing game. They run the ball way too much. I just, that ain't for me. If I'm Julio, I'm like,
you wouldn't want that.
Nah.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Tell you what, the Ravens thing would make things very interesting in the AFC.
Yeah, the Ravens. Right?
He ends up there.
49ers, the Ravens.
Yes.
That becomes very interesting. And then no more complaints about Lamar Jackson. I mean, you've got now the pieces to get it done. All eyes on him. Do the Knicks have the pieces to stop Trae Young in game two? You know he's afraid of birds? Weird for a guy that plays for the Hawks, right?